Welcome back to Silver Lake TV. I'm John Papa, Silver Lake Evangelist of Microsoft, and today we have return guest John Stockton.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming back, John.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And you work for?
I work for Avanade.
Avanade.
Yes.
I always screw up the way you say that.
Well, even within Avanade, some people call it Avanade, some Avanade. So.
And you do consulting work on Silver Lake.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. You're one of our Silver Lake MVPs. Yep. So you know a lot about the topic.
I've used it a little bit. Yeah.
That would be a good thing. So today we're going to talk about doing animations and figuring out how you use animations in an application, storyboards particularly.
Yeah, that's right. And how you can kick them off and how you can use them in Visual State Manager.
So who would want to watch this? Why? What if I'm a business application user and I'm just generally interested in animations?
Now, I may be biased, but in my opinion, every developer building Silverlight applications needs to know at least the basics of animation.
All right, well, I'll stop talking. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're going to show us today?
Okay, well, today, the first thing I'm going to do today is I'm just going to make a very simple animation, and it's nothing you would ever make in an actual application, but it's just to show off some of the capabilities, how you do it, how the tool works.
Okay.
So I'm going to start in Expression Blend here, and we've talked in the past about how Blend and Visual Studio work together. You can go back and forth between them, and every now and then I'll flip back to Visual Studio to show you some of what's being output.
Okay.
Because I think everyone... When building a storyboard, an animation, you should know the different pieces it's actually making so you know how to change them later.
And these animations will work on WPF, Silverlight, Windows Phone 7?
Yep, all the above.
Okay.
Okay. So this is a simple little task that I've given many people before just to teach them the basics of how to do an animation. And the overall task is very simple. It's like, okay, well, let's make a ball that drops and just kind of bounces across the screen.
Okay.
Sounds simple enough. Okay, so, well, first we have to make the ball.
I've always said we don't do bouncing ball demos here, but you're going to throw it out the window.
I am going to do a bouncing ball. So we're going to make this just to make it look like a ball. So this will be the 3 seconds of graphics that I do.
So you're using the little gradient arrow. Maybe you zoom in. There you
go. Yeah, there we go. Okay, there we go. So come back out. There. And now we have a ball.
Awesome.
And just one little tip there, the Control Zero will zoom your workspace to fit in the area.
So well, that's nice to know.
Yeah, it's zero. Just a nice little trick. Okay, so now we need to make an animation. And you do that by creating a storyboard. And you'll notice over here under Objects and Timeline, it says No Storyboard Open. So the first button is disabled because there aren't any storyboards yet.
That's your drop-down list.
Right. So we'll just add a new one. And... Now, you'll see it's all scrunched together over here. Well, Blend has a neat little trick where you can hit F6, and it will rearrange your screen to put the timeline at the bottom so that it takes up... it's just more convenient. And then you can also use the zoom feature down here to move the timeline to where you can see what you're working on. So if we're making a three-second one, you can see it easier. So that's what we're going
to
do here.
And let's take a quick look here, what you did. You switched the screen to F6.
Yep.
Well, not to F6. You used F6 to switch the screen so we could see the storyboard. But I noticed there's a big red box around the design surface.
Yes.
That's to say you're recording?
Well, the red box plus this little ball up here, this little button, says, and it tells you explicitly, we are recording right now. So if you do anything on the storyboard at all, on the artboard, that is considered part of the animation.
That means adding items and changing properties of those items.
That will all be within the animation if you do it. So
and when
sometimes
you do that, you'll see something in the timeline.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. You'll see. Well, here I'll show you. So what we want to do is over 3 seconds, we are going to take this ball, and we're going to move it down here.
Okay. So you moved to the 3 second marker and said, at 3 seconds, I want to put that ball at that new position.
Exactly. So it started in the upper left, and we're saying at the end of 3 seconds, we want it to be at the bottom right.
Now, did that change the top and the left, or did that change the transform?
Well, let's take a look. And over to Visual Studio so we can look at it better. And you'll see what it did is it created a storyboard for us in a resources area that was just created. And it added two double animations. You'll see one each for the translate X and one for the translate Y.
Okay.
Which for those of you who aren't familiar with animations yet, translate is move, basically.
Because it's more letters, right?
Exactly. I'm sure an animation expert could tell you why it's translate instead of move, but for us lay people, it's move. And X and Y, of course, refer to the different axes.
Okay, so instead of moving the top and the left, it's actually transforming. translating using a transform.
Yes, and then the 2 is the final value. So,
and it also added the composite transform down
yes,
here.
Yes, it added the composite transform, and also at the end of the row, it added the render transform origin.
Right.
Which, when you're just doing a translate, that doesn't really matter as much, but in some of the other animations, where that point is can...
Right.
can
and that's the center of the object. So.
Exactly. So if we switch back over to Blend, we'll run this real quick.
Got a little detailed, but you know, it helps show what's happening.
Yeah.
So over 3 seconds, we're uniformly moving from point A to point B.
Right. And that's, well, it moves, but it's not the effect we're looking for. We're looking for a dropping ball.
Yeah, I can't make a ball bounce like that. Maybe underwater.
Well, here, well, we'll try this, because Silverlight added easing functions in Silverlight 3. Before that, we could still use easings. We just had to do it manually. Now we have these nifty animation, or
yeah,
easing functions.
Graphing, yeah.
So, and now, again, another thing that isn't always intuitive to understand are the difference between in and out. It's not the way you think. Think about it as the object is within a container, and so if you want it to move out of the container and onto your artboard, that's actually out.
Okay.
And if you want to move it off of the artboard and back into its container, that's an in. So that's kind of the way to think about it.
All right.
So we'll say, in this case, we want to move it from a beginning to an end, so we'll call that an out. Give it a bounce out and let that run. And do you think this is going to give you
bounciness for a second? Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think this is going to give you the effect we're looking for?
I'm guessing no.
No. Yeah. Now, unless we're on a space station or something, that's probably not the ball bounce you're looking for.
No, still not there.
So,
but we did see how it's bouncing.
Yes. Out. And all we did was click a couple properties.
Right.
So that was easy.
Three bounces, and it's only a 2 bounciness, and that's a level. The bounciness is.
I think that's how far out it bounces is the bounciness. So we'll actually undo that one and come back here, and you'll see that you can open under the object after it added the keyframe. You can see that each property that's getting animated.
It'll show you the properties. And the little red thing on the ellipse says this thing is being animated.
Yes.
And the property that's being animated is going to be underneath it, the render transform.
Exactly. So now we can, instead of selecting the oval for the keyframe for the entire object, we can come down and select the ones for the individual element, the individual property. So in this case, we want it to fall down and bounce down, so that would be the y-axis. So let's try that same bounce, but this time on the y-axis alone.
So you've selected just the y-axis.
Yeah, and let's see what we get. Okay.
So you added an easing to the y, but not to the x.
Not to the x. And this is pretty close. This is pretty good.
That's
better. It bounces down. Now, to make it a little more natural, and
it's
this is
a little slow.
Yeah. So now we'll put another easing on the x, just to give it a more natural feel.
And to change what you're easing, you first selected the translate y the first time
yes.
to the easing. Now you selected the translate x to do the easing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And now now we put a quadratic out on that one.
You can make me do calculus.
And we'll see. Actually, you can. You can create, if you're one of the handful of people that know how to create your own easings with math, you can absolutely create your own.
The good thing is, I tease and you tease, but when you look at the picture of the easing, it kind of shows you what it's going to do and how fast or slow. So it starts out here fast, and it's going to slow down.
Yep. And if you just want to tweak it, you can actually come over here to the key spline, and you can also create your own spline. Without knowing calculus, you can create your own. So we could do that as well. And
so that
really jumped out there.
Up a little bit.
Yeah. So that's the basics. So now we've made a ball drop, and it slows down as it moves. And so that's the basics of an animation. Now, again, we'll go back and look at the actual code it created. And it's not very big. This is a pretty small storyboard.
The important thing I like to look at is it didn't change much down here with the ball.
Absolutely.
With the ellipse.
Absolutely. All it did is it added, as we pointed out earlier, it added the render transform with the composite transform,
right.
The transform point origin, and since it didn't have a name already, it just threw a name in there.
Just so the storyboard can refer to it.
Right. And that's all it did to your main code. And then it threw the storyboard up in a resources section, and you could pull that out into a resource dictionary if you want.
Right.
So you're all good. And that one is pretty small. You see, there's only a couple different animations going on, a couple different keyframes. And then it's a little bigger than it was before since we added easings, but it's pretty small.
The easings are important because it gives you a more natural appearance. And it's not just for ball dropping. And think about a menu flying out or a transition of the screen. We get a natural movement.
Absolutely. Every animation should have an easing on it. And they've made it really simple to do that with Blend. So now I want to show one other piece within this animation. And that is, well, here, let's actually get out of the animation itself and throw another object on the screen. And
so you killed our storyboard.
Closed the storyboard.
Closed it, right.
Yes. And so now I'm going to demonstrate using different keyframes along the animation to get different effects.
Okay.
So in this case, we're going to just throw a label on here, give it some text, and we'll give it every designer's favorite font.
Comic Sans.
And make it big. Okay. And now we're going to start that guy. We're going to just pull him over here.
And off screen.
Pull him off screen. Okay. And that's going to be our new starting point. So now we go back into that animation.
Now you got out of the animation for a reason.
Yes, because if you did that while you're in there, while you're recording. Now, theoretically, I could have just stopped the recording. Press the red button and it would stop it, but it's usually best. You'll mess yourself up if you try to.
I've been there.
Yeah. We all have. That's why we don't do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, do one thing at a time. Okay, so now we're going to add this guy in here. So what we're going to do, in this case, what we want, the effect we want now is we're going to bring that text on screen, and we're going to bring him up to the middle, have him pause there briefly, and then bring him back off the side again.
Okay.
So to do that, we're going to use keyframes. So first we want it to start on the edge, so we're going to give him a beginning keyframe. Just to give him a starting point, mm-hmm. Bam, he's there. Now we'll move over to 1 second, and we'll say, okay, at 1 second, I want him to be all the way up here. And for a second, we want him to stay there. So we're not going to change anything on him. We're just going to throw another keyframe.
Right, and so you're just clicking the little football here.
Yep, and all it's doing is adding another keyframe. Mm-hmm. And we'll show you that in XAML in just a second.
That's an important piece I think sometimes people forget, too, is not only do you put a keyframe when things change, but there's certain times you want them to stay static.
Yes.
So it's important to have a beginning and end of the static time period.
That's right. And so then at the end of it, we want him to be back off to the edge. Okay, so now we go back to the beginning. When we run this, he comes to the middle, he pauses for a second, and then moves off to the side.
Right.
So now, we said earlier, every animation needs easings. So we've got 4 keyframes here. We can actually apply an easing to every one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, the first one, it would be silly because it's
at rest.
It's at rest. So we'll put a keyframe at this one, and we'll give this we'll move it in, or which is out.
Move it in, which is out.
Yes. We'll give it maybe an exponential. This is a resting keyframe, so we don't need to do anything there. Mm-hmm. And then on the last one, we will then move it in, because it's going back into its container.
And it's good to use, I noticed here, it's good to use the same type of easing in this particular case.
Yes, so that it's when it comes in and goes out, it's the same right. Movement for the same object. Typically, you'll pick 1 or 2 easings and stick with those throughout an application. So there we go.
And also, if you wanted to see like what's it look like in between, if you put your cursor like right at half second.
Yep, you can move this along anywhere through here. And if we were looking at the object, you can actually see the different values change. Let's see, if we come down and open up this transform, come on.
Got to hit the little arrow thingy.
There. Now, see, you can see we have numbers in here. And you can see those numbers move as we move across.
Right.
So you can see what the exact value is at any given point. So if you're wanting to catch it, okay, I want to do something when the ball is at the exact bottom, then you can do that.
Right.
And now, right now, you know, we can't really see that because it's kind of jumping over the bottom because it happens between tenths of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually turn off the snapping there. So then you can go to any sub second area you want. You can
right.
grab the exact right pixel.
Yeah, the snapping allows you to do more, less granular.
Right, which for the vast majority of what we need, tenth of a second snaps
right.
are fine.
Okay.
So there you go. That's the basics of creating an animation. I hope to never see this on an application,
ball
dropping with Hello World and Comic Sans flying around, but it just kind of demonstrates easings, keyframes, that kind of thing,
right.
And it's very simple and easy to do.
So now you're going to show us?
Well, first let's pop over and look at the XAML that created.
Okay.
So you can see now that we've got keyframes with easings on them and stuff, now we're talking a lot more XAML.
Yes.
Now the objects still, just the same. It added a composite transform, it added a name, and it added a render transform origin. And one other thing I'd like to point out while we're looking at the XAML here is that every piece in here, just like everything else in XAML, at runtime it gets compiled into a real CLR object. So you can programmatically grab any of these pieces. So if you wanted to, for instance, on, let's see, like this keyframe, if you wanted to say at runtime, say, you know what, I want that value to not end up at roughly 800. I want it to actually go to 200. You could change that at runtime, run the animation, and it will go wherever you want it.
Right. You can access all this through objects in C# VB.
Yep. And if you know you're going to do that, throw a name on there just for ease of accessing it. And then you can do some pretty cool stuff that way. One other thing I want to show. We've got a widget. And our widget has a toolbar, which we have added states for. And you've probably all done this before, at least I hope you have. Visual State Manager is a great way to add transitions and state changes for things like showing toolbars or hovers or, you know, pressed effects on buttons or that kind of thing. But what I wanted to show with that is that you can, or what that actually does, if all you've used is Blend to create your visual states, you may not know that those are what the Visual State Manager actually uses are storyboards. Here we go. There it is. So anything, as we were creating that big storyboard before with the ball dropping and stuff, you can do that. You can use Blend's regular tools and create your big storyboard and put it within a visual state. And so you can make a lot more complex animations than just clicking, you know what, I want it to open up and throw an easing on it. So if you wanted to make something really complex, you can absolutely do that and still use Visual State Manager to manage the different endpoints of that.
Yep, you just create your own states and it create a storyboard for each one.
Yep, it's pretty simple. And it will still, you can even use the best of both worlds, that create your own storyboard for an opening and still the closed will still take it back to where it was. You can put the easing on the group itself and then it'll ease in, it'll ease out.
Right. So if you're going to use the same easing on everything, let's say you've got five states, because sometimes you have a lot. You usually
Absolutely.
Have two or three, but you could have a lot of states. And if you do that, you put the easing up at the visual state group level.
Yes.
All of those states will use that same easing.
Yep.
And you can also do each easing on each individual state as well.
Yes. And what that looks like in Blend is right here. This here is the group, and then you've got your easing right there, and the duration, and then by default, all of your states are going to use that easing and that duration for its transition. So, but then you can absolutely go in and muck with the storyboards as much as you want.
So when you go to open then, let's say that when I go from close to open, I want a particular easing. When I go from open to close, I want a different easing. How would you do that?
Well, there are a few different ways. You can, see, here we go. You could use this little widget right here is the easiest way.
Okay.
And then you can say, okay, and this is more important when you have more than just two states.
Exactly.
But if you had a half dozen states, you could say, okay, if there's opened and closed and left and right or whatever, then you could say, in this particular case, I want it to do this. In this case, I want it to do that. And set up all sorts of stuff to confuse everyone else that ever looks at it.
So by clicking that, you're going to get a little another sub-entry where you can add your easing in and your duration and whatnot.
Yeah. So there. So
yeah,
now we can.
Do that, but yeah.
So there we go.
Okay. So you can do it at the granular level if you need to. And again, you could have multiple states if you wanted to.
Yep.
Can we run this one and see it happen?
We can. Well, now that I just changed it, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But we'll build that guy.
I like to do that. Throw a little bit of a monkey into the middle of the demo.
Okay. And this is the toolbar sample. So let's just show that. And this one, we'll go back to the code in just a second because I'll show you how we wired that up, how we are actually kicking off the states. So here we have a page, a nice Web 2.0 page, you know, rounded corners, gradient. And now all the toolbars open on each individual widget. Oh, nice and smooth and with the easing so they don't just slide out or pop out. They nice and comfortable.
Are you using the go to state behavior or what are you using?
Yes, I am. For the state transition, I'm using a go-to-state behavior. We'll head back over to Blend and show that. You'll see somewhere in here.
Is main view your...
There we go.
So on the grid.
So when you mouse over the inner grid here, there are two behaviors. One, when you mouse enter, it takes the object and moves it to the open state, And then the other one, when you mouse out, it moves it to the closed state.
Okay. And so, you've got use transitions on there because that's one of the newer features of Blend. We could actually use one of the transitions between states if we wanted to.
Yep. Okay. So that's how we're kicking off that one. And now, if we go and run the other one, the ball dropping, you know, we've never actually shown that work.
No, you've never shown it. I don't believe that it works.
Well, and you're right. It won't work right now. Here it is. We'll see a ball.
You created a storyboard, but...
But we didn't kick it off. We're not firing it.
Good point.
So we will go back into Blend over here and say, you know what? I actually want to use this storyboard, not just make it. So again, we're going to use a behavior. But since this one isn't tied to a state, we're going to use the, the control storyboard behavior. We'll throw it down here.
Sort of on the ellipse, okay.
On the ellipse itself. And you can't really running into real estate issues here. So we'll say, okay, yeah, when you the source is the ellipse, the event name is left button down, that works.
Yeah, and I still love that. You know, basically whatever object is your source object, it figures out what all the events are. So you can just pull them out of the list.
Absolutely. So it does most of the work for us. All I had to do is set the actual storyboard I wanted to run. We save that.
Before you run that, can you just open the conditions real quick? I'm not sure we've shown this yet.
Oh yeah, because that's new in 4, I believe.
Yeah, in 4. And you can actually add a condition of when. Not only is it when the mouse left button happens, but maybe you only want it to happen between 2 and 3 p.m.
Right, or maybe there's something else in your application that has to be in the right state for that to actually occur. So there we go. Whatever we did in conditions, I just undid. So we should be safe now. So now we'll come back over here.
Is there anything else I can do to screw up your demo?
I'm sure you could, but we are going to build this. And now when we run this, if we click that, oh, that's cut off. That's nice.
Yeah. But we get the point there.
But we get the point. It and now we didn't put anything in there to actually start it over. So
how would you do that? Just you have to do it, but tell us. How would you start it back at its initial state?
Well, there are several things you could do. As far as the animation itself is concerned, is if we go back into that storyboard, we don't have a beginning keyframe on the ellipse. So if you actually wanted it to start at the beginning, and even if you, like, when it was at the end, even if you told it to play again, the ball's not going anywhere because it's already where it's going to end up.
Right.
So if you want to reuse that animation without changing anything programmatically, then we would have to, on this ellipse, add a beginning keyframe.
Okay, so hit your football in the beginning, and then if you clicked the ellipse at the end, it would go back.
Then it would go back and start over. Or if you could catch it while it was flying, you could actually make it jump
again. Continually do that.
Yes. So yeah, there's so much we didn't talk about. There are so many things you can do with animations that you could write a whole book about it. A friend of ours has.
Yes.
So
list off some of the things. We don't have to get into all the details, but what other things are really important people should look at with animations?
With animations, there are some things, there are certain types of properties you can and cannot animate, or should and should not.
Okay.
For instance, we were talking before the show about visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the visibility property, and there's the opacity property. And while you can put both of them in a storyboard, you have to be careful which one you choose. If you actually want it to fade in and out, visibility will not do that for you because it's static. It's either on or it's off.
It's binary. There is no transition between you're there or you're not.
Yes. So for that, you would use opacity.
Mm-hmm.
But if... At the same time, if at the beginning or end you wanted to change the visibility for memory management purposes or for, you know, not being in the way of click events or things like that, you can do that as well. So often what I'll do is combine the two.
So I'll have from opacity of 100% to zero, and then at the end.
And then like a tenth of a second later, I'll flip the visibility as well.
Why?
Because if you don't, then the object is actually still there.
Right.
And it's taking up resources as far as the GPU is concerned. And also, if for whatever reason that object normally accepts click events, mm-hmm. it's still going to if just the opacity is turned off.
Yeah, if opacity is off, the object's there.
That's right.
If opacity is zero, I should say.
Yes.
Right. So it's very important to make sure you set your visibility to collapsed at the end.
Yep.
And then turn it back on.
And then turn it back on. Exactly.
Good.
So, and then if you're animating your own properties, any dependency property that you put on your objects, well, I shouldn't say any, dependency properties that are of certain types,
mm-hmm.
like if it's a number, if it's a color, there are a few other types of things. What are the others? I forget. There's at least one other. But those types of properties, you can tie them into an animation as well.
And the good uses of animations. I mean, we've talked about the toolbar. Mm-hmm. Before the show, we were talking about transitions between screens, user controls, views, whatever mm-hmm. we want to call these
yes.
things, areas people can use on the screen. We've seen the drawer effect with people, where you've mm-hmm. got some kind of a screen that's half or 90% off page.
Yeah.
They click a button and it kind of slides out, so you have more information. I'm Italian, I use my hands a lot. So you've got different things you can use. Basically, any time you're changing the UI for the user, or maybe pop-up screens to a child
yes.
window, little things like that, or even just when you open like an expander.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's one thing that's unnatural to people when we're looking at things is when things pop.
Right.
We don't like things to pop. Our eyes want things to, we want to see where it came from. That's just, it's built into us, it's part of our being.
And a good time frame to do a lot of these kind of things is?
Most of the time, if it's just a simple transition from one state to another, usually between 0.2 and 0.4 seconds, so sub half second.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, why even bother? But you do notice.
But you absolutely notice. And it sounds really weird to believe, but even at 0.2 seconds, you can tell if there's an easing or not. If the item is coming out in a linear fashion, which means constant velocity from beginning to end, mm-hmm. or if it kind of rolls in place, mm-hmm. you can tell that even in that 0.2 seconds. And I don't mean like because you're an animation expert and you're watching. I mean, it just feels right or it doesn't.
Yeah, it's like that analogy I made with the referee. I mean, you want to notice that the game's going on, but you don't want it to take 5 seconds to go from one state to the other.
Yes.
You know, you don't want the referee to come out in the middle of the game and say, oh, we're going to stop them, tie my shoe. You know?
Exactly, exactly.
And that's where you get in trouble with a lot of demos with business applications. The users will come up and say, well, that's just, you know, that's annoying because it takes too long. If you keep it subtle, mm-hmm. in the same sense, you don't want, you know, 0.05 seconds.
That's right. You want it to actually be a transition, but you don't want to take too long. And with that said, there are times when you will want it to take a long time. For instance, if your application takes a long time to process something, if you've got a service call that's got to go out that's slow, sometimes you'll want to put some slower animations, some slower transitions
right.
in front of the user to mask that something else is taking a little bit longer.
Like with a progress bar, for example, those animations are slower intentionally.
Exactly.
Because you're going to be sitting there dancing while it's waiting for you.
Exactly. So we make the user think something is happening mm-hmm. when we're actually waiting on something else to finish up.
Okay. Well, this is interesting information, and I like how we're using Blend to do this. We didn't have to run to actually test all these animations or state set. We can
That's
use
right.
Blend to do all that, so the tools work for us in this case. So, hey, John, thanks for coming on, and you're moving.
Or I am.
Going to be in Florida
Yeah, by
soon?
The time this airs, I will probably be working from pretty close to the beach.
So we could have switched houses.
Yeah, pretty close.
I came from Florida and came here, and that basically kicked you out of the state.
There's only enough room for one of us.
I believe so. And then we're also going to be doing PDC very shortly.
That's coming up in just a couple months, I believe.
Yeah, and right here in Redmond. So
that's right.
Got a lot of stuff going on. And hey, if you all are going to be out here at PDC, stop by. We'll be doing a little bit of filming, Silverlight TV as well. And make sure you register soon. And John, hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for watching.